Hi, this is Todd Friel, Executive Director of Fortis Institute. Perhaps you've noticed Christians aren't looked upon as favorably as we once were, and we're determined to not retreat in the face of persecution, taunting, legislation that makes life harder for Christians to speak the Bible. I'd like to invite you to join us in our spring matching gift campaign, No Retreat. We are determined to stand firm, and we are inviting you to stand firm with us. We will continue to make as many and more resources as we currently do because we are determined to see our King exalted. And if that matches your heartbeat, would you kindly consider joining us as a gospel partner? Your gift is doubled right now. You can learn more and join us at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God told me to tell you this.
That's paganism.
Do you really expect and anticipate that the divine voice of God can be heard by you?
That's horoscope reading.
Standing in the office of the prophet of God.
That's reading tea leaves.
You can't have a relationship to God if you can't hear God.
That is not biblical Christianity.
You want to hear God speak to you? Read your Bible. If you want to hear God speak to you audibly, read it out loud. I promise you, 100% guaranteed, you will hear Him speak.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And welcome in to Witness Wednesday here on Wretched Radio today. I am Jimmy Hicks in the studio. Todd is out today at the University of Georgia in Athens. And he's out there doing exactly what Todd does, just walking up to random strangers and making them feel absolutely awkward. And that's what he does. Have you ever met the guy? Seriously, though, he is walking up to random strangers today on campus, and he's asking them questions that most of us haven't really slowed down to think through. What is wisdom? Why do we call some things right and some things wrong? Who gets to decide all of that? Those are some pretty big questions with some pretty big answers. So let's get out to Athens and see how all this goes for Todd.
And this is Jared here at the University of Georgia, Athens. Dude, standing behind us is a sign that says wisdom. You're a Christian, is that correct?
That is correct.
Give me a definition of wisdom.
Wisdom, okay. I would say wisdom is knowing the difference between right and wrong and acting on it.
Okay. I think you're wrong. Yeah. Would you disagree with me?
I would if I heard your explanation.
Okay. I think it's because I think that it's good to do bad things to everybody. All right? So that's my definition of wisdom, being mean to everybody. Why would you tell me I'm wrong?
Well, I could say that, like, I've been raised with the mentality that, you know, doing right and knowing the difference between right and wrong. But
so your parents told you. But why should I agree with you, or why should you tell me I'm wrong about my understanding of wisdom?
To be honest, a lot of people will say it's very subjective, but honestly, I don't know. I can't say.
All right. If I said to you, Jared, I believe that it's really good if I punched you in the nose right now, would you tell me I'm wrong?
I would tell you you're wrong.
Okay. Who are you to tell me I'm wrong? What would be your reasoning, your rationale, your proof for why I am wrong to punch you in the noggin?
I think being the victim on that end is probably sufficient enough, I'd say.
Yeah. But I like it.
You do? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, I do. Yeah. Well, I hope so. Otherwise, I got really deep problems. Yeah, I think it's a good thing. Why am I wrong?
I mean, you're inflicting pain on someone else, which I personally think is wrong, and I've been brought up with a mentality that's wrong.
You know, there's a group of people who actually think that's kind of cool.
Yes.
Now, why are they wrong?
I mean, I could go to... I don't know. I feel like it's harder to answer than... Like, I feel like it's an easy question, but, like, I'm...
Right. No, I agree. That's why we're asking the question, because I think it's an important question. Who are you to tell anybody what you think is right or wrong, right? Or who am I to tell you what is right or wrong? So if you and I simply have conflicting values, who is the arbiter? Who determines what is correct or not?
Well, this may sound biased because I'm a Christian, but I would just go to the Bible. I feel like that's a source of morality and truth to me, so I would definitely go through.
Why then should I say to you, I'll submit to the Bible? Why would I ultimately give it and say, okay, my understanding is wrong, you're right, I'll do what the Bible says? Why should I do that? Just so you know, I agree with you. You know that. I agree with you, right? But why should anybody, you know, a lot of people out here have a lot of different beliefs. Why should they believe what you're saying, or why should they do what you think is right or wrong?
You know what? I really wish I could answer that, but I've actually in the past tried to witness to people, and I've always come to the point where I'll tell them what I think, and they'll tell me what they think, and it's a dividing line. Who should listen to
you? Right. I agree.
But I don't know. You come up with some good questions.
Okay, I'm gonna lead you then. Who wrote the Bible?
I want to say people who are inspired through the Holy Spirit.
There you go. You got it. That's what Peter said, that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So it was divinely inspired. Fair enough,
yeah.
Okay, so it would be fair for me to say God wrote the Bible. Would that be okay? Through men.
Yeah, I could agree with that, definitely, yeah.
So the precepts, the principles, the definition of wisdom actually is defined by God in the Bible, correct?
I would agree with that, yeah.
So if you say, I think this is right or wrong, if it reflects what is written in the Bible, then I should do it because not Jared says so, but because God says so.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So wouldn't that ultimately be the source that we would need to run to so that you and I can determine who's right or wrong?
Yeah, I would.
And without it, you and I are going to wrangle all day long unless somebody steps in and goes, no, we've got a higher source of authority. Thus saith the Lord. This is what he says. And now the fight is over.
I would agree with that. The only thing is, I think because there are different religions and different religious articles, everyone will say, well, this is what I think. And obviously ours stems from the Bibles, Jewish from the Torah, Muslim from Quran.
Right.
So.
Right. But you would say that those people are wrong, correct?
Well, I mean, they obviously believe they're right, but I believe in Christianity. I believe in the Bible.
Okay. So if we were out here debating whether or not somebody should punch somebody in the nose, the ultimate arbiter would just simply be, because we could talk about a sociological study or we could do a vote, but ultimately we wouldn't know at the core who is right and who is wrong unless we went to the person who determines and who wrote down what is right and wrong.
Okay. Yeah.
Sweet. Hey, well done. I thank you for your time.
Thank you.
All right. All righty. Nice kid. Thus saith the Lord. Please say hello to...
Hi, my name is Juan.
Not you. You're supposed to say your name right there. Your name is... I didn't want to say it wrong. Juan?
Johan.
Like John.
Yeah. Hi. How did you know that? Yeah.
Well, it just kind of sounds very, very similar. And you are from South Korea, correct?
Yeah.
How long have you been in the US of A?
Maybe 3 years in total.
3 years in total. All right. Now, South Korea... My understanding is predominantly a Christian nation. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's true.
And North Korea is basically what?
I have no idea, but I heard that it is not allowed to believe in God.
Yeah, it's pretty awful there what's going on right now. I understand there's somewhere between 100,000 and 200,000 Christians actually being held in some sort of a prison camp in North Korea. Are you a Christian?
Yes, I am.
You are? Yeah. What kind? Let me guess, Presbyterian.
Yeah, that's right.
You know why?
Why?
There's a lot of Presbyterian Koreans, especially, I'm not kidding, in Georgia. There are, I know that.
Yeah. There is a Korean church.
There's a lot of Korean church. Are you kidding me? They're all over the place. They're everywhere. Because when I first moved to Atlanta, it's like, why are all these churches with, you know, a language I can't read? I actually stopped one day inside of them and I said, why are there so many Koreans in Atlanta? Do you know why there's so many Koreans in Atlanta?
I don't know, but...
I do. Delta Airlines, because it's a big hub here and it's also in South Korea. The education system, they like certain parts of it. And the weather here is pretty nifty. So there's just a lot of Koreans that have congregated here, and they sort of dig the educational system.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Especially
right.
The weather part.
Especially the weather part.
Yeah.
All right. Now, I would like for you, Juan. No, that's not right.
Yeah, that's right.
Did I do that right?
Almost close.
All right. I don't want to confuse it with Juan. Okay, so Juan, tell me why I should become a Korean Presbyterian. Or just a Presbyterian?
That's a tough question.
Why are you a Presbyterian?
I don't know. I didn't have a choice, actually. So when I was born, my parents are Presbyterian, so I didn't have a choice.
They paid-o'd you. They went ahead and baptized you as a little baby, right?
Yeah.
That's what Presbyterians do.
Yeah.
All right, but now you're a grown man, right? Are you still a Presbyterian?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Why?
because I never thought about like changing.
Do you think I could persuade you to become, say, a Buddhist?
No.
A Hindu?
No.
A cult?
I don't think so.
A multi-level marketing scheme? Nothing. Why? Why do you tenaciously hold to your Presbyterian faith?
Because I'm so used to it, and then, like, just because I believe in God, and I never thought about, like, other gods.
Are you fully persuaded that your God is the right God?
Yes, I am.
Why?
Why?
You're doing fine, by the way. You're doing just fine. Not many people ask these types of questions. So this is sort of like going through, if you were Lutheran, this would be like confirmation. So no big deal. So why are you convinced that your God is the only true and living God?
I don't know. I can just say, like, that's because I believe in the God that I believe in. You know what I mean? I mean, that's a very tricky question, and I never thought about that question, like, in more in deep.
Fair enough. Juan, did I say that right again?
Yep.
You're a gentleman, and I thank you for talking to me, okay?
And that was a young man from South Korea, Presbyterian, I do believe he said. More Witness Wednesday from the University of Georgia is straight ahead. This is Wretched Radio. No Retreat. That's the name of Fortis Institute's Spring Match campaign, and here's why. The culture we live in right now has made it pretty clear it has very little interest in the true gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're being told to keep our faith quiet in public or to soften what we believe so it goes down easier. Fortis Institute has no intention of doing either one. We exist to advance the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this spring, we're doing it as loudly and as boldly as we know how. Your gift will help launch two new podcasts. It puts Todd Friel's new book, Go Serve Your King, into print through HarperCollins. And it puts the gospel back onto college campuses where it's least welcome and most needed. Our goal is $250,000, and we're asking if you would prayerfully consider helping us get there. You can find out more right now at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course on campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
As a Christian, at some point, you're going to be in a conversation about abortion. Maybe it's at work, maybe it's at Thanksgiving dinner, or maybe even with your own kids. And when that moment comes, you're either going to be ready for the conversation or you're not. Life is Best gets you ready. It's hosted by Scott Klusendorf, one of, if not the sharpest pro-life apologists in the world. This 13-episode series walks through every major argument you'll hear and shows you how to respond with clarity and compassion. You'll also hear from voices like Paul Washer and Dr. John MacArthur, bringing the weight of Scripture to an issue the world wants to keep shallow. You won't find angry debate tactics or gotcha moments. No, this is thoughtful teaching that engages the mind and the heart, because the goal isn't to win an argument. It's to change minds and point people to Christ. Life is Best. All 13 episodes streaming now on Fortis Plus for free. Download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Know your church fathers.
Gregory of Nazianzus was the bishop of Constantinople in the 4th century. He wrote important works on the Trinity and the person of Christ. Gregory described the relationship between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and taught that Jesus is fully God and fully man. His arguments are still in use today. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome back to Witness Wednesday here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks in the studio, and Todd is out at the University of Georgia in Athens, and he's been talking to students today, asking the big questions, the questions that I don't think a lot of us have put a lot of thought into. And honestly, when you're asked one of those questions, you can be a very smart and sharp person, but when you're asked where morality comes from or who decides what's right and wrong, now you're going to get to the bottom of whether your worldview holds up or not. And that is exactly what we're hearing happen on Witness Wednesday. And we're going to go back to Athens now to listen to even more.
Welcome to Wretched. Hey, dude. Nice to meet you. You are?
Darian.
Darian. I'm going to take these off because I just don't like the barrier between us.
Perfect. Oh, yeah. There we go. Yeah.
Dude, you are like the sharpest dressed man on the entire Georgia campus. What's going on?
You flatter me. I actually just had a presentation in one of my marketing classes.
What were you presenting?
I was presenting on an integrated marketing campaign about a company that I started here in Athens. It's a video production company.
Get out of town. Yeah. And look at that. We're doing a video production.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Sweet. All right. Now, I want to ask you a question specifically, Darian. Do you see those signs over there? I don't know if you can read each one, but it says wisdom, justice, and moderation.
Yeah.
All right. What is wisdom?
Wisdom is about, it's about more than knowledge. It's about actually not just knowing like facts or anything like that, but it's actually taking those facts and applying them to situations that deserve them being applied to. So it's not just about knowing a bunch of random things. It's about knowing how to apply the knowledge that you have in everyday situations.
That's pretty good. Okay, is wisdom a good thing?
I would definitely say wisdom is a good thing.
Why?
It's good to be wise because you have the wherewithal to make harder decisions based on past experiences, based on other people's experiences, and you're not caught in the middle of decisions simply because you have no idea what you should be doing.
Right. Now, I would like to ask you a philosophical question. This concept of wisdom, the idea that applying knowledge to a situation for a good outcome is a good thing. Where did that concept come from, wisdom?
If I had to guess, I would say that it was a biblical concept, simply because I feel like that's where a lot of philosophers kind of, that's a lot of what they went to in order to kind of understand what is true and what isn't true. So that's what I would say as wisdom, just because you also find a lot of anecdotes and a lot of stories about, and you find the word wisdom a lot in the Bible about
right,
like this person.
So you think there's wisdom in the Bible, but the concept of wisdom as is written down supposedly in the Bible, where did it come from? Who invented wisdom?
I feel like it was a lot of philosophers that just kind of came about the idea of the, or this concept of wisdom as it applied to what they were trying to define. So, it's,
so men did.
I would say that they were the ones that labeled it as wisdom.
Now, what if I said that I don't like your definition of wisdom? I think that it's wise to wreak as much havoc as possible on society. I think that's wise. Would I be wrong?
I would say that you're... it depends on how you defended that that idea. Like you're how it depends on what your definition of wisdom. Are you making that statement?
I'll tell you what. You tell me I'm wrong. I think it's good to make as much trouble as possible. Persuade me that I'm wrong.
Okay. If the purpose, I personally feel like our purpose is to let no one leave you unless they're leaving you better and happier. So
I don't.
Okay, so I guess my question is, why do you feel that's necessary? Why do you feel like you?
I like it.
Okay, does that make you? Is it what like what sort of like do you get? Is that
I enjoy it.
You enjoy it, like deep down enjoy it, just like a surface level, or is like do you get like an erotic like
profound
excitement out of hurting other people? I feel like that's partly the definition of a sociopath. So
how do you know? Maybe I think you're a sociopath.
Well, then what's your definition of a sociopath?
Somebody who's kind of nutty.
Someone who's, well, that's very vague, so
okay.
I'll take that.
But you call me a sociopath. I'm calling you a sociopath. Which one of us is correct?
I would say that based on whoever's closer to the definition of what a sociopath is, so someone who takes delight in the harm of other people without really considering like what sort of negative consequences that may have.
Okay, now keep going with me. You're doing good. Okay. I think the definition of sociopath is somebody who doesn't like to be mean to society. Now what do we do?
Yeah.
So, I have the opposite definition of sociopath than you do. Which one of us is correct?
I would say that I'm correct, because if you're factually following your thought process, that someone who is a sociopath does not take delight in hurting other people, that means that a sociopath is someone who... No, you said the opposite of that. You said that a sociopath...
This isn't easy. I understand that. I think that it is good to be a sociopath. Why would you tell me, and who are you to tell me I'm wrong?
I'm someone that's as a human being who has, you know, not just my own interests at heart, but also the interests of other people, that's who I would be to tell you that what you're doing is wrong.
I think it's evolutionary to kind of weed out society, kind of thin the herd a little bit, get rid of the weak, survival of the fittest. So I think it's good to get rid of some of those feeble people.
But that's not what you said the first time. You simply said that you wanted to...
And I like it too.
Okay.
My motivation is to also thin the herd.
You want to thin the herd. So basically you have an Oliver Wendell Holmes kind of mentality about kind of this, like, and I guess Darwinism, so like... Only the survival of the fit will be the ones that survive.
Let's go with that. Good reference, dude.
Yeah, and so to a certain extent...
Margaret Sanger?
Yes, exactly. So so essentially, like, what you're saying... That's not what you said the first time. The first time you said that you just simply wanted to cause trouble for people, and, you know, if people die in the process...
Is eugenics wrong?
Eugenics, so the killing of like, what doctors do is...
People that we deem to be mentally retarded, we don't think they should breed. Eugenics.
Eugenics.
Or exterminating a race of people. It was Adolf Hitler wrong?
Yes, he was.
He thought he was right. How do you know?
How do I know that he was right, or how do I know that he was wrong?
How do you know he was wrong?
Because what he did, basically his motivations for doing what he did were completely off base. He blamed...
What's base?
He blamed an entire group of people for issues and problems that they didn't actually cause or commit. And so by passing the buck to a group of people just to give himself the ability, or basically the right, to exterminate them, that was completely off base. And by base, what I'm saying is that it was wrong. He was basically taking.
But he thought he was right.
But here's the thing: not many people do what they do ideally to just hurt other people for the sake of hurting other people. A lot of people do things just because they have good intentions at heart. Adolf Hitler, as what you look at, he had an idea for what he thought was best for his group of people. What he did was completely wrong. The way that he went about going...
Why?
Was wrong. Because in the process, he went about it in a way of killing certain people who he only believed. He didn't have any physical... He didn't have evidence. He didn't have...
Okay, let me just say, and I don't want this to sound offensive to anybody who is hearing this. Don't hear this the wrong way. If Adolf Hitler were to argue that actually exterminating those Jewish people has been good for the world, and let's just say he could go to a lab, or he had some sociological study, or he went to a university and they concluded it was actually good that he did that to 6 million Jewish people, would he then be right?
He would not be right.
Why?
And it would be on a... What's the word I'm looking for? And on an ethical standpoint, he would not be right ethically.
Who defines what is ethically right or wrong?
I feel like it stems from a lot of what we innately believe to be right and wrong. And so,
But you understand, he innately believed he was right.
I think he had to do a little bit of convincing in order to do that. Or I would go back to that part about him being a sociopath. So you have this obscure...
Let me try this. You're doing good, by the way. All right. The island of Boingo Boingo, they actually have voted. They all agree, the majority, I think it's about 73% of the Boingo Boingies, okay, they believe that cannibalism is good. So they enjoy noshing on Uncle Phil with a mild barbecue sauce. And they've agreed, consensus, the majority, that is the right thing. Now, here in America, cannibalism is wrong. Here's my question. Is cannibalism right or wrong?
I personally believe that cannibalism is wrong, and I think that the majority of the world also believes that cannibalism is wrong.
But the Boingo Boingoes do not. So are they wrong?
I'm fascinated by what sort of, I guess, factors they took into consideration to determine that cannibalism is right.
Yeah, they persuaded themselves. Who are you to say to the Boingo Boingoes, no, don't do that, that's wrong? Why should you be allowed to impose your values on them?
It's not about me imposing my values on them. It's me telling them what my values are. And
but you know what? You get my point. You're telling them they're wrong. Who are you to tell them that they're wrong? And they would look at you and go, well, you're wrong. Now, how do we know ultimately who is right and who is wrong?
I think it comes down to the idea of capital T truths versus lowercase t truths, and that it depends on where you as a person. So me as a person, I base my truths off of biblical understanding. So I'm a Christian. So I think that there is a certain capital T truth that stems from religious teachings and from God, essentially, and Jesus. And so
I think we just got there. Unless God says this is wrong. You and I could debate all day what is right and wrong because we're just two people. I shouldn't be imposing my values on you and vice versa. Unless we can call on a higher standard or a higher authority, you and I merely have preferences, but we don't have facts. We don't have wisdom. We don't have truth. We don't have a concept of right or wrong, good or evil. Fair enough?
Fair enough, because we are imperfect. So if you're looking to imperfect people in order to come up with a perfect standard, then I feel like that's destined to fail.
I couldn't agree more with that. Young man, thank you very much.
And let me do what I do best here, and that's interrupt Todd when he's talking. Now, I think he was finished there with Darian, but let me go back to what Darian said there at the end. That's worth mentioning again, because if you're looking to imperfect people to come up with a perfect standard, this whole thing's going to fall apart. And he's right. That really is the problem with every moral system that leaves God out. We can sound smart and we can quote people and have a big polished argument and act like we have everything together. But if the standard that you're living by starts with you, all you really have is an opinion with confidence. That's all it is. And Todd's conversation at the University of Georgia at Athens will continue because more Witness Wednesday is straight ahead. We'll be back. This is Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. Paige Rogers, who's a student at Boyce College, says co-workers at Hein Brothers Coffee found out she attended a Christian school and started asking pointed questions about her views on marriage and sexuality. She answered them honestly, and 2 weeks later, HR fired her by text message. First Liberty Institute has taken on her case, with senior counsel Cliff Martin calling it chilling that an employer can fire someone for voicing a religious belief they were invited to share. Speaking of faith being treated as a liability, Notre Dame de Namur University in California has invited Nancy Pelosi to deliver its commencement address. Pelosi, who once went on national television to claim the Catholic Church hasn't clearly condemned abortion, will now represent the values of a Catholic institution. The same woman whose own archbishop barred her from receiving communion over her support for unrestricted abortion. Yeah, but sure, she's the perfect person for the job here. On the cultural front, San Francisco coffee chain Phil's Coffee pulled pride flags from its stores, calling it a move toward consistency. Employees launched a petition demanding they go back up. Meanwhile, the Trump administration has agreed to settle a lawsuit to keep the pride flag flying at the Stonewall National Monument in New York, a reversal from its February order to remove it. And Disney's reboot of Malcolm in the Middle now features a non-binary sibling, complete with a moralizing speech that plays more like a sermon than a sitcom. The show's creator has three kids who all identify as queer. You can't make this stuff up, folks, mainly because Hollywood already did. New York City Mayor Zohran Mamdani has issued an emergency order effectively banning mass public celebrations for America's 250th birthday this July, citing police resources tied to the FIFA World Cup. The planned Times Square celebration now gets downgraded to a ticketed indoor event and a televised ball drop. Happy birthday, America. And in Maine, a father had to sue Falmouth School Department just to get them to follow state law and let students recite the Pledge of Allegiance. The district has since complied. Imagine needing a court order to tell you what the law already requires. And in Minnesota, the Freedom Caucus has announced impeachment hearings for Governor Tim Walz. The resolution accuses Walz of concealing widespread fraud in state-administered programs despite repeated warnings and audits. And Walz, for his part, recently told reporters he'll never again seek elected office. At this rate, the decision might not be entirely up to him. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. Both can be done at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord of our righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 tells us that God made Jesus, who knew no sin to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Witness Wednesday continues here on Wretched Radio. I am Jimmy Hicks in the studio. Todd out at Athens, in Athens, at Athens, in Athens, on the campus of the University of Georgia. And he's been asking these students some pretty deep questions today.
This is John over here. Now, I just asked John what he's reading. He happens to be reading a book called...
Well, it's about Barabbas. Probably right about the pronunciation, actually. But and it's basically just it's about the man who the thief basically that was offered as an option versus Christ, and the Jews chose to or the Pharisees chose to choose Barabbas, get him released, and send Christ onto the cross.
Now, do you believe that this fellow actually existed,
Barabbas or
both?
Both. Or Christ? Yes. Yes. All right.
So does that inform your worldview? Are you a Christian?
Yes, it does inform my worldview, yes. And I would call myself a Christian, yeah.
Now, we're here at the university, and we're seeing that this is a great place of learning, and people are trying to impart wisdom. As a Christian, tell me, what do you think wisdom is?
Well, I mean, as a Christian, the Proverbs actually says...
Fear of the Lord?
I'm sorry?
Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom?
Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, yes, right.
How do we know what wisdom is?
How do we know what wisdom is? Well, you'd have to go back to... In that sense, then you'd have to go back to the Scripture as such. Yeah. Okay,
I don't believe in the Bible, so why should I buy your wisdom?
Right. Well, in that case, you're kind of going to have to go back to really more of a practical matter in terms of how you live your life and what how things work out for you and how things work out for society in general.
So pragmatics.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's just say, pragmatically, it turns out that running up to the guy who owned those two bulldogs and taking his bulldogs, pragmatically, that worked out for me because I love dogs. And it worked out for me. So is it okay for me to take his dogs?
No, but that's because I guess I would look at pragmatics as being more than just a interest of self-interest, but more of a social interest in terms of how it affects society in general. So, you know, his dogs and so on, you're going to create situations and problems in a social order that.
All right, John, if I could find a study someplace, perhaps at the university campus here, probably funded with some government money, that concluded if we exterminated everybody with an IQ of less than 80, society would be better off. Would it be okay to then exterminate that group of people?
Well, I would say no, yeah.
But pragmatically...
say that's the case, that's true. But then I guess that's kind of where I would come back to authority of Scripture and so on and so forth. And then you're saying, well, I don't believe in Scripture, so then what else do you base your beliefs on in that sense? And I think that gets down to some of the issues that you have in society and in the social order. And so.
Okay, so I've heard you say two things. You would quote the Bible, and pragmatics would be two ways that you would argue what is right or wrong. Which would be the priority for you?
The Bible, generally, yeah.
So you believe, as a Christian, the strongest argument that you have when it comes to societal morals would be the Scriptures?
Yes, yes. Now, that would not apply to everyone because, obviously, as you said, you know, it's like, well, I don't believe in that. So then, obviously, there are issues that you deal with in society because there are different standards that different people have, and especially in a pluralistic society like the United States, different people are living by different sets of standards and such.
Yeah, which leads to the bit of the conundrum that we're in right now.
Right.
So, John, if we don't have an external source of authority... Ultimately, sitting on this bench, you and I might disagree about everything. How will we ever conclude what is right or good if we don't go to that book you call the Bible?
Well, that's a very good question. And I think there are some things that you can do with logic and reason. There are some things that you obviously can't because you have to have... I guess the problem with logic and reason is that you have to have a base and you may not agree on the base. And then, of course, you're going to end up with totally different conclusion.
So without your book, without your appeal to an authority, we're just sitting here in a land of preference, but not in a land of wisdom or morality.
I think it's difficult to define morality without some kind of base, yeah?
Now, you say you're a Christian. Convert me.
Well, it's not up to me to convert you, and I can't convert you. That's something that has to come from, you know, from a spiritual authority, from God.
Okay, so what should I do? Do I wait for a voice? What should I do?
Essentially, you would have to wait on God to pull you into that. It's not necessarily a voice.
But if I asked you, John, you seem like a nice fellow. You're smart. You're well-read. I would like for you to persuade me to become what you are, and that is a Christian.
I could not do that.
Why?
That is not something that is within human control or authority.
Now, you're either suggesting that God somehow persuades people without a human element involved, or you're a Calvinist. So I'm wondering which it is.
I'm really neither.
Okay, so then didn't Jesus say you're supposed to go and make disciples?
Yes, he did.
Here I sit. I'd like to become a disciple, John. Go.
I could tell you all kinds of things about what I believe and how I believe it and so on and so forth.
Persuade me to become a follower of Jesus Christ.
I could not persuade you other than by living my life in a way that you would look at and you would say that person is a fine example and I wonder what that is.
Okay, I'm asking you. I think you're a fine example. Tell me already. No.
But I mean, I don't
got one on the hook here. Persuade me to believe in Jesus.
Well, that's the issue, is that I don't know how I can just persuade you in one conversation. I mean,
give it a go. You've now purchased enough time. Come on, give me your best shot. Okay, why should I become a Christian?
Why should you become a Christian? Well,
I will not even fight with you. Why should I become a Christian? This is the easiest evangelistic encounter you've ever had.
Well, because it'll be good for you and it'll be good for society as a whole.
Why?
Why? We would have a moral basis that is the same and would hopefully then have peace and understanding among all peoples.
I'm doing okay right now. Lovely wife, great kids, pay my taxes, don't beat my dog often. Everything's pretty good. Do I have any other reason to become a Christian?
Everything's good for you, but not everything's good in society as a whole.
My neighbors think I'm doing all right. I contribute. I walk little old ladies across the street. I don't hurt anybody. I'm contributing.
All great stuff. All great stuff.
So give me a reason then to become a Christian. Do you have any?
It would come back to basically that's what, you know, God would want for you.
Why?
Well, do you believe in God, first of all, at all?
I'm waiting for you to convert me. This book right here about... Okay, so Barabbas was a part of the scene where Jesus, who claimed to be the Messiah, was brought before a group of people on trial with Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate said, okay, on this day, one's going to go free. Who do you want, Jesus or Barabbas? The crowd chanted. And Jesus then was beaten and went onto a cross and was executed. According to the Bible, why?
Basically for the sins of the people and for our sins.
So he died for my sins?
Yes.
So do I get forgiveness because he died for my sins?
You get forgiveness from God, yes, because he died for your sins, yes.
Do I need to become a Christian to get that?
Yes, you would ultimately have to be a Christian.
If I don't become a Christian, and if I don't have forgiveness, what's the consequence?
Well, the consequence at this point in time would be negligible, I think, if God's not working with you or calling you.
If I died drop dead right now on this campus because clearly I'm in such poor shape I can't even pet a dog without panting, what would happen to me?
You'd be dead, just like me.
What about my soul?
Don't really believe in souls.
So you think when we die, we die?
We die. Scriptures talk about a resurrection that comes later.
So when I'm resurrected, what will happen to me if I do not become a Christian and have forgiveness of my sins?
God will raise you up, and at that point, you would then know that there is a God and that there is an existence beyond that. And then at that point, things would be shared with you about those kinds of things would be shared, and then you'd have a choice, basically, about do you want to accept that or do you not want to accept that?
Kind of a second chance program.
Well, it's a not really a second chance in some ways, and in other ways it is. I would say it's not a second chance because if you have that knowledge or that faith at this time in this life and you reject it, then you're not given that second opportunity. But if, on the other hand, God hasn't, as I was saying before, called you to it, then, yeah, it would be your first chance, essentially.
So if I reject this whole thing, now, later, whatever, however the details work out, what will happen to my eternal, immortal soul?
Well, we don't have an immortal soul.
Well, Todd's conversation with John is just getting started because John has some thoughts about the afterlife that are probably not what you're expecting. Todd's going to continue to press into all of that as the conversation continues next on Wretched Radio. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know what's rare? Finding something that makes you laugh and makes you think at the same time. And that's why we've brought in Gary Varvel. Gary's an award-winning cartoonist, and every week he draws in an original creation just for Fortis Institute. They're sharp, they're funny, and they usually make a point that sticks with you a little bit longer than you expected it to. And something else you'll find at Fortis Institute is Fortis News, which is hosted by yours truly. These are up-to-the-minute headlines that matter to Christians, and they're told from a biblical worldview. There's no spin, there's no agenda. It's just the news with a Christian perspective. And both of these things, part of what we're building in Fortis Institute, and both are made possible by our gospel partners. If you have been helped and you appreciate the content that we're creating at Fortis Institute, would you consider supporting us so that we can reach more people in more places all over the world? It's really simple. We know you have questions, so we have answers at fortisinstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. You've tried everything. You've sent articles. You've had the conversations. You've probably argued more than you wanted to. But you have a loved one who is still neck deep in the prosperity gospel or the new apostolic reformation, and nothing you seem to say gets through. It's exhausting, I know, and it's also heartbreaking. Snatch Them from the Flames was made for exactly this reason. Todd Friel and Justin Peters sit down and they tackle why your loved one is attracted to these movements in the first place. Because until you actually understand that, you're just going to be swinging in the dark. Then they walk through the things that you can actually say and do to help pull them toward Christianity. This isn't about winning an argument. It's about understanding someone you love and pointing them to something real. If you've got a family member or a friend caught up in a false gospel and you don't know what else to try, Snatch Them from the Flames is for you. It's streaming for free right now on Fortis Plus. Download the app on your smartphone, your smart TV, or simply go to fortisplus.org. Most men don't make one big decision that takes them off course. No, it happens gradually, and eventually you look up and you realize, I've been coasting for years. Well, Dr. Adam Tyson has created Walk Like a Man. It's available now on Fortis Plus. Dr. Tyson knows that's the story for way too many guys right now. And so he gets into God's Word and he lays out what it actually looks like to walk with wisdom and live with real conviction. And the way he teaches it, you'll walk away from every episode knowing exactly what to do and why it matters. This is biblical teaching that puts solid ground under your feet and gives you a clear path forward. It's streaming right now with new episodes dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus for free. Download the Fortis Plus app right now wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just go to fortisplus.org and walk like a man.
Attributes of God. Aseity is the word for God's self-existence. Nobody made God. God is the unmoved mover who causes all other things to be. All things depend on God for their continued existence. God does not need his creation. He chose to create us to glorify him and enjoy him forever. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And we're back here on Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks, and we're going to get back out to the campus now where Todd will pick up where he left off with John, still on the campus at the University of Georgia. John thinks when you die, that's it. How will Todd respond to the annihilation claim? Let's find out.
Well, we don't have an immortal soul. And that's the thing. So you would basically be burned up. You would just cease to exist.
So annihilated.
Yeah.
What Bible verse says that?
Jesus talks about that in the Gospels in various places, where he, and then in Malachi, there's a scripture that talks about people being ashes under the soles of people's feet.
Which is obvious. It does happen. But what about the thing that makes us us, the soul that goes on? You think that that's just obliterated?
Right, yeah, there is not really a soul. There's, you could call it a soul or a spirit or something like that. But
now, historically, haven't Christians said that hell is eternal conscious torment?
I do think that that's that is definitely the view of mainstream Christianity.
So you're not a mainstream Christian?
No.
You're a Jehovah's Witness?
No.
You're a... not a Mormon. What are you? Wait a second. I think I can, Seventh-day Adventist. No,
I am a Sabbath keeper. I attend with groups that are affiliated with largely. It's kind of a Church of God movement, but not Pentecostal, but Sabbatarian Church of God.
So then, based on all of that, I really don't have a reason to become a Christian.
Well, it benefits you, and it benefits society as a whole. If you mean
Oprah benefits society, so she's kind of got, she has no reason then to become a Christian, right?
Well, why would you not want to become a Christian?
I haven't heard a compelling reason from you.
I guess the thing is, like, it's not going to be of benefit. If your whole purpose of life is just to benefit, to make sure that you're benefiting yourself, then yeah, I mean that.
I'm loaded. I'm leaving a monster inheritance to my kid. You could probably tell. I own a private jet. I'm richer than a TV preacher. Okay? I'm good. So I then have heard no compelling reason to become a follower of Jesus Christ. Is that a fair assessment of our exchange?
From your point of view, yes, I would say that is the case. But then that's essentially.
So that would be maybe why you don't really share your faith very much.
I will share it if somebody comes up and asks me, like you have asked me. But yeah, I don't go around trying to convert people. No, because like you said, just like convert me. It's like I can't convert you. That's something that has to come from God. And
why would God want to convert me if ultimately, snuff, I'm out?
Because why did he make you in the first place? I mean, if all he's going to do is snuff you out, why would he even make you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why do you have children?
You know, that's a very funny question. That's actually very funny. To be honest, I didn't think about it before we did it. I'm glad we did, but I never did. Right. Why do we have children?
I mean, I would assume that God is being love. He just wants to share and so on and so forth. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to show love and he wants to share and he wants to create a family and have lots of children and people with him and so on and so forth.
Okay. So, John, your specific denomination is what?
Well, we don't really, I mean, that's what I'm saying. We're Church of God, we're Sabbatarians.
And what happens if I don't keep the Sabbath?
If you don't keep the Sabbath, just have a more stressful week, and you're probably not going to be as in tune, I think, with some of the things in...
John, if there's no hell, there's no heaven... That to me sounds like there's no justice.
No, I didn't say there wasn't a heaven.
Is there a hell?
There is a hell, but
who goes there?
We all go to hell. It just depends on, yeah, hell, if you look up the scriptures and you look up the Hebrew, hell, Sheol, and most of the terms in the, it refers to the grave. We all go to the grave.
Okay, so this place of eternal conscious torment that I do believe Jesus talked about in Matthew 25 when he said you'll depart and you'll either go to eternal heaven, eternal paradise, or eternal damnation. If there's no hell, what happens to the rapists, the murderers, the liars, the thieves, the adulterers? Does God just forget about it?
Well, again, you're talking about eternal heaven and eternal.
Where is justice reckoned?
Which I would not believe in. I mean, I don't...
Okay, so where would... All the evil that happens out here, how does that ever get accounted for? Do the books just get wiped clean and we just forget about it and move on to another chapter? Or is there a day of reckoning when God will act as a judge to determine who is innocent or guilty and give evildoers what they've earned for themselves. If there isn't a place of punishment for them, it sounds to me like God isn't just or loving.
Well, you reap certain amount of punishment in this life for doing things that are, you know, bad to other people. In after the resurrection, there is a judgment, there is a calling to account, but ultimately, anybody not called at this time is forgivable, and you know.
So God's just going to forgive, blanket forgiveness, for amnesty for everyone.
Quite possible. It depends, again, largely on one's motivations, one's knowledge.
Okay, but John, if somebody walks into a courtroom, 100 people are in the courtroom. They were all guilty of genocide in Rwanda. And the judge said, I'm loving, I'm good, I'm going to let you all go because you didn't have much knowledge. Would that be just?
Well, those people are still going to have to change. They're still going to have to repent because basically...
That's fine, but what about the crimes that they've already committed? Let's say they're perfect from that day on. What about their crimes already? Would that not be an unjust judge who simply said, forget about it?
You know, Christ said, forgive as you shall be forgiven. I mean, I'm more concerned about forgiving people and more concerned about being forgiven. I want to, you know, if somebody does something bad and they change.
But John, you agree that there should be a court system where people who are criminals who break the law should be punished, yes?
I believe that there should be justice to an extent, yeah, but I don't necessarily believe in justice as a revenge mechanism or as a vengeance mechanism. So if somebody has done something wrong and sincerely has...
So a pedophile who molests children, you would say, what should be the... A few weeks? A month? A year? What?
If the person has truly changed, why are we doing anything?
Because he's done horrible things.
And that's just revenge. I'm not into...
Okay, not revenge. Revenge is with a spirit of, I just want to hurt you because you hurt me. Justice, even though it's punitive, does not need to be vengeful.
Well... That's true, but then that goes back to the things that, I mean, if you go into Romans, for example, and there it talks about how God is the judge of the world, and...
And he will judge all people according to what they have done, and he will pour out his anger and his wrath on everybody who refuses to repent, who practices evil deeds and lives for themselves. There'll be trouble and calamity in that day. It's Romans chapter 2, right?
Yeah, I'm not talking about Romans chapter 2, but there is that aspect.
He will pour out his anger and his wrath on everybody who refuses to repent, who practices evil deeds, who lives for themselves. That's a pretty straight quote. What do you do with that, John?
Oh, well, I'm actually talking about Romans, I think it's 13, which is where Paul talks about the civil authorities being responsible for judging God using those civil authorities.
I'm talking about the eternal courtroom, that God will pour out his wrath on everybody who refuses to repent, who practices evil deeds. So what do you do with that? How do you make that just go away? Is he not going to do that?
No, he will do that. That is what's called the day of the Lord, and that's the end time.
So if I don't become a Christian, I'm going to meet him on the day of the Lord, and he's going to pour out his wrath on me, correct?
Well... Yes, there will be times of reckoning towards the end of the age. Yes.
So wouldn't that be a motivation for me to become a Christian?
Absolutely, yes.
So back to Barabbas, this whole thing. Why did Jesus die on a cross? For the forgiveness of sins, so that people could have forgiveness if they will repent and put their trust in him. And if they don't have forgiveness, they will face God on the day of the Lord, and he will punish them for what they have done, the sins that they have committed, the crimes that they have committed against his law and his standard. And there will be a reward for those who repent because they believe in Jesus and his atoning work. And there will be punishment for people who have committed works of darkness. Fair enough?
Yes, but I think it depends. You know, the day of the Lord is not the judgment day.
Okay. So it sounds to me like you just got converted.
Todd got exactly where he needed to at the end of that conversation with John, to the gospel. God doesn't forgive sin by pretending it's not a big deal. As you've likely heard Todd say many, many times, a judge who lets guilty people go free is not a just judge. He's actually unjust. But God remains just because sin was actually paid for by God himself in Jesus. Jesus stood in the place of sinners and took everything that we deserve. That's not God ignoring sin. That's God dealing with it through a substitute. That's going to do it for us this week on Witness Wednesday. You can listen to Witness Wednesday, however, to your heart's content by going to FortisPlus.org or downloading the Fortis Plus app on your smartphone or your smart TV. And the best part about it, folks, it is absolutely free. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.